On today's episode, we go over the latest on the hot stove for the Cubs. Is it heating up or is it cooling off or is it somewhere in between? Another edition of Did You Know? And the 2023 Hall of Fame ballot. We go over that as well. Let's go.
Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a Tuesday episode of what is a three-day-a-week recording schedule this week with the holiday on Thursday as Thanksgiving week is upon us. Thankfully, the Bears aren't playing on Thanksgiving, so we can actually enjoy our meal potentially and not see Justin Fields get sacked or hurt again.
Are you a Thanksgiving food guy?
I've cooled off in years past.
It's very average.
Yeah. I'm going to say no, ultimately.
Yeah, it's overrated.
We have a lot to talk about in terms of cooking, though, and that being the hot stove, as the Cubs are in the offseason along with 29 other ball clubs. And quite frankly, the hot stove is pretty warm right now, but the activity is almost ice cold. Sam, pleased to be with you today, and there's a lot of places we could get started. I think pitching would be a good spot.
Yeah. I've been reading. I've been trying not to anger myself. I come from a calmer place this afternoon on this crisp Monday fall day.
Yeah. Warmer today.
I'm reading a lot that the Cubs and Orioles are going to be competing a lot, because they feel like they're in very similar places. The Orioles with a good farm system, but also trying to win next year. The Cubs with a good farm system, always trying to win. What I don't understand, and I'm not going to be redundant, is why both teams are continuously linked towards the mid-tier starting pitchers. I haven't been able to explain why that is. I really always try and look at this through the general manager's lens, or look through the owner of the team's lens and try and then make a justified opinion. I just don't understand why the Tyron Walker and Chris Bassett are the guys that the Cubs are linked to. I think one of those guys plus another one's fine, but as we continue to progress, it seems more and more like it's just going to be one of those guys. And you have some Jacob deGrom news that you'd like to share, so maybe that'll make me and the listeners feel a little bit more chipper on this somber Monday.
Well, I got a couple things for you, and please, everybody, listen up, okay? If you weren't already.
Yeah, I hope they were.
The Cubs should never be linked in any competitive situation, especially when it comes to adding players, to the Baltimore Orioles. That is a complete joke. Are you serious? The Cubs should never be in the same conversation as the Orioles unless the Orioles are stepping up their game, which would be cool for that fan base. They are a team on the rise. They even competed after they made some trades last summer. But for the Cubs to be listed in the same sentences as the Orioles, respectfully, to Locked On Orioles and whoever the else heck that might be crossing over with us here.
Frank Robinson.
Maybe Ravens fans or something. Yeah. Yeah. Frank Robinson.
Rafael Palmeiro.
Cal Ripken. Brian Roberts.
Eddie Murray.
Steve Stone. Oh boy. Okay. Sammy Sosa.
No.
They shouldn't be Jake Arrieta. They shouldn't be linked. They shouldn't be linked, folks.
That
is a complete and utter joke.
No, but you know what? Can I make a point? And I fully agree with you.
Unbelievable.
You're totally correct. And I didn't even. You want to know what's sad? I didn't even think of that.
I'll be animated most of the show.
But I want to just say this because I was team. Do not get on Jed. Do not get on Tom. Give them a year or so after dumping these guys. But now I don't understand. I don't understand this rumor of let's get the diet soda, let's get a diet Pepsi, diet Sprite, diet Dr. Pepper. And then when these young guys are ready,
mozzarella sticks,
then we go with that regular Coke. Then we go with the main. Why? Well, because no. if you feel like, let's say in the Cubs brass, they feel like 2024 is the banner year. So whoever you get's going to be a part of that anyway. So why not just get it? Unless they're just being very dodgy about their financial situation. I don't know. I just hope I've said what I want multiple times. Hopefully it gets done, but tell me what you've heard, because you told me you've heard some decent stuff outside of what I heard. You're more in tune than I am. You have more sources than I do, because my source is you.
And I'll get to that, but just another thing on that is...
Yeah, and you're wearing black today.
And I hope that, obviously, we hope that they're active. But the other thing is, you know, in terms of the offseason and how it's going to evolve, is there going to be better classes next winter? Maybe there's a better headline player, but this is a pretty good class.
Very good.
There's good players here. So that I think now is the time to strike. So
absolutely.
There's a few different things here. Okay. I do want to just go over this just to get it out there, because the New York Post has put Jacob DeGrom suitors to name, and it's only five teams. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The report over the weekend mentioned that DeGrom places a high value on winning. He believes the Mets could do that on a regular basis. He still likes the Mets. However, the Rangers, Dodgers, Cubs, and Yankees are among the other teams that could be in play for the right-handed pitcher. And the big kicker in the story is that the Mets would like to go 2 or 3 years. To which I say, well, if his market is 2 or 3 years, even at a high AAV, the Cubs are in that line, which apparently they are. But, I mean, it gets me excited that they're one of the five for him, a generational pitcher. I don't know how much I buy it. I also think that this could be a market this year, which teams just outbid. Like, for example, the Rangers, 2 years, $100 million. Would I be shocked? No. Would the Cubs do that? Probably not. But if we're talking about 2 or 3 year markets, whether it's Abreu, or hey, let's say 1 to 3 year markets, Abreu, Bellinger, DeGrom, those would be kind of the more headliners on that type of deal. The Cubs should be near the front of the line, and I should never hear the Orioles.
If the Cubs give DeGrom 2 years, $100 million, you and I will go to the game, and we'll look up after the game, and we'll have, you know, we'll spend $1,800 each.
Yes.
Parking will be $1,000. A hot dog will be $26 and a beer will be $30.50. That's how Ricketts operate. You know, you never know. But look, yeah. You know me. And look, I still am very optimistic about where this Cubs team's headed. I don't want to be overly pessimistic, but that I just don't.
Yeah.
First of all, anytime we're mentioned with the Dodgers are going to probably win, right?
Right.
If you want the most money and you want a guarantee to pitch in the playoffs, who's not going to go there? And it's annoying. I was talking to my cousin the other day, and we were talking about how ridiculous it would be if Judge goes there, you know, and people still don't get it. It's like, even if the Dodgers were to get Judge and DeGrom, there's still probably like a 75-80% chance they don't win the World Series, because it's a complete crapshoot when you get to the five game thing. It's just like, why do the Dodgers enough already with the Dodgers enough?
Right. They need more players. Yeah.
Yeah. You got enough there. You figure out how to win with that.
So the Athletic name dropped a lot of players over the weekend. So let's get to those reports from Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney. But honestly, Sam, we've mentioned these players before too. We're just going to back up what they said. You name
the player, and I'm going to give you a sound effect on how I'd feel if we signed that player.
Oh, so you want me to give individuals? Okay. So well, Kodai Senga.
Lovely.
Okay. But do you rank Senga, Sam, in so there's the upper tier of like DeGrom, Rodon, and Verlander.
He's in the middle of the mid tier and upper tier.
Okay.
So he has his own tier. It's the Senga tier. I would grade him significantly above Walker, Bassett. Jeez, it's been a long Monday, I guess. Walker, Bassett, probably Lopez. You know,
Syndergaard.
Syndergaard, Manaea. Eflin. He's above all those guys.
Yeah.
Now, one of those guys plus Senga equals very good job in the pitching market to me. But yes. Senga to me is the most realistic target. If there was a tier one and a tier two, I'd put him at tier one and a half.
So let me give you the other two names then, if we could kind of conclude the pitching convo.
Well, I'll do a sound effect.
This is going to be, I knew, yes, right. Okay, so Chris Bassett then officially. Okay. And then finally, Taiwan Walker.
Okay, so we all know. I don't have to do that again.
Yeah.
Zeros.
So, and the thing with this conversation is, because I've seen some places where, okay, so the Cubs or just us as fans are resigned to our fate about not getting one of the big three, right? Well, then it would have to be two from the so-called middle tier. But I like what you're saying, because I really think they should be firm on Senga. It should be Senga plus one of the middle tier. Because what I'm seeing from this weekend is there's a ton of teams in on Senga and Bellinger especially.
Right.
But if no top-tier pitcher, then Senga plus another from that tier would be ideal. What are your thoughts on Cody Bellinger right now?
Well, can I just close something really quick?
Yes.
Just really quickly. And I just want to make sure I have statistical proof before I do this, and I do. Okay.
No problem.
So people are probably wondering, Sam, why are you so against Bassett and Walker? Taiwan Walker had a 12-5 ERA last year, or 12-5 record with an ERA in the mid-threes. He's a proven above-average MLB starter. We don't know anything about Senga. So let me answer that question because it's a logical question. Here's the answer.
Fantastic.
Strikeouts. We have too many guys that do the same thing with our starting pitching. For example, Walker this year, 157 innings, 132 strikeouts. He is a finesse pitcher, okay? We have Stroman. We have Hendricks. Mm-hmm. We have all – even Wisniewski. We – in the postseason, when you watch these guys player. Play, Zach Wheeler – Verlander, the only guy
that really
dominated this October that was not a super, super high strikeout guy was Valdez. And he's got that turbo sinker and he still struck out more than nine per nine. Senga is a guy with strikeout stuff. This past year, 148 innings, 159 strikeouts. 2019, 227 strikeouts. This is a guy that can miss bats. And I understand that you could be a success without doing so, right? Lester, and Hendricks. I get that. But it's a little bit different now. The stuff is different. We need more high-end stuff. And these mid-tier guys will absolutely help the Cubs be a good team. But late, it's just like, you know, let's say we're going up against the Mets and they have DeGrom and Scherzer and whoever. And it's like, all right, we're running out Walker and Stroman. It's just a different tier of guy. And I really want us to find one of those guys. Like even Darvish. Like Darvish has that stuff where every time he's out there, you feel like, we have as good of a chance to win as anybody because if he's on, he could be facing the 27 New York Yankees and they're not going to touch him. We don't have a guy like that. Sure, if Stroman's on, there's going to be a ton of ground balls, but those ground balls could find holes. Steele hasn't proven that he could go 7-8 consistently when it matters most, and maybe he can. But we need more profiles like that. Walker and Bassett and Lopez and Syndergaard and Tyler Anderson don't fit that profile. And the Dodgers, and I know I'm going long, I apologize.
No, for this first time is fine.
The Dodgers proved that this year. In the playoffs, they had these great starters, but they all kind of profiled as the same. Kershaw's not a power guy anymore. He got roughed up a bit. Gonsolin, 16-1 with an ERA in the low twos, but it got to postseason time. It's different. You need guys that miss bats.
I like
that's
it.
All.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Viewing from it that lens in terms of postseason matchup.
Yeah.
I think it's very effective. So then let me just round out this list because I know we did go long, which is fine.
That was my fault. Sorry.
So tons of teams on Bellinger, which isn't a surprise because it sounds like he is seeking a one-year prove-it deal too.
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
Kevin Kiermaier officially in the Cubs mix, and then just confirmation on Abreu, Mancini, and Bell.
yeah,
for first base. But I think the Abreu and Mancini emphasis, just because of their handedness of sure. being right-handed. Yeah. And John Morosi did report on Saturday, Sam, that Abreu was a, quote, top priority, end quote, for the San Diego Fathers.
Yeah, and that's not good at all. And just really quickly, no. and we'll move on. I'm not going to, like, freak out if the Cubs don't get into a bidding war with Bellinger, because it's like I would love a center fielder. Hopefully they get it done. But it's not like I want him, but it's not the end all be all. It's, you know, we know what the end all be all is. And yeah, I saw the Abreu stuff with the Padres. That'd be a great fit for him, and be shameful if he went there. So
today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at betonline.net. Sam, can you give us a quick USA soccer update?
Yeah, they drew 1-1. They were in control the entire game, gave up a late clumsy penalty, and drew a game that they really couldn't afford to draw.
We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix at BetOnline. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
World Cup starts tomorrow for me.
Thanks, everybody, for being with us for this Tuesday episode. Remember, just this week is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday episodes before Turkey Day. So we are going to play some Did You Know and then some Hall of Fame talk to conclude the show in a few minutes.
Are you you going to be waking up at 3:45 a.m. to watch Argentina tomorrow, or is that just me?
No, it's just you, and probably is Anthony going to wake up as well?
No.
Your roommate?
No,
okay,
no,
so just
no,
you.
No, no.
Well, what time does the game kick off?
4 a.m.
So, wow. Okay. Wow. That's wild. And I wish you well. And so this player was a fifth-round pick of the 2010 draft of the Cubs. And how many clues would you like here?
So did you intro that we're doing 2010
Yes, this did you know the segment, okay, where we guess Cubs draft picks that made it to the big leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to need a lot more than that. So 2010 fifth round. give me
outfielder.
And obviously he made the big leagues.
Let's
give people a chance to list to uh-huh. By the way, here are my hands.
I gotcha. You were really impressive last week.
I don't
people
have a clue.
Said so too in the comments.
2010 outfielder, had a cup of coffee, or like a sustained run with the Chicago Ball Club?
Sustained run. He played 4 years with the Cubs and parts of two with the Padres.
Oh, Matt Caesar.
Wow. So, the
Padres thing was too much. You gave me too much.
Okay, so first of all, it's not too much. Second of all, there's literally two teams that we named, okay? One was the team that we discuss every day. So, folks, basically what you're seeing is Sam is ridiculous with this kind of stuff. Pretty soon, we're just going to name dates, and he's going to give us the result that day.
No.
So, Caesar was it.
Sorry.
You go. Caesar was a two-sport star in college, football and baseball, at, do you remember the school?
No, but I do. I remember it being
East Coast.
About, oh boy, no. What school was it?
Villanova.
Oh no, I wouldn't have got that.
107 games for the Cubs in 2016.
Was that the Hayden Simpson draft or whatever? They drafted
Hayden
first?
Simpson was the first round pick that year. Jeez.
What a terrible job this team did.
It was one of the most horrific drafts I've seen.
No other big leaguers?
There was like three, all not with the Cubs. And Simpson made it to high A, by the way. and so that's basically the segment. Any memories of Caesar? He had some moments in 16.
No, the bat thing with Rizzo was the biggest.
Right.
I know it sounds kind of, you know, it's kind of insulting to a big league ball player that won a world championship, but that's kind of how I remember him. He was a fine utility player.
I
don't remember him actually ever getting any ABs in the playoffs in 16.
I don't know if he was even rostered.
Yeah. But yeah, he was good. I mean, he was fine.
But 107 games is a lot.
Yeah, no,
he's a fifth outfielder.
He's got that ring.
So he played a ton.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, the 2023 Hall of Fame ballot, and it's a bit light on players. Stick around. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. We're going to be here all off season. And today, to wrap up the program, we're getting into the 2023 Hall of Fame ballot. I have it right here, Sam. If I could read off the names, what do you think?
Can I just say one thing before you do?
Yeah, please do.
Mike Napoli's on it.
Yeah.
Let me read you Mike
Cubs
Napoli's
first
number.
Base coach.
Career 246 hitter, 267 homers, 1,100 hits. I mean, what are we doing with the Hall of Fame? I know he's not going to make it, and no disrespect. He should not be on the ballot, and I'm not going to get in here with an argument about the steroid guys, but if you're telling me that Barry Bonds never took steroids or A-Rod and they'd be Mike Napoli, that's a joke.
There's okay? no reason why Napoli should be on. Zero.
That's a name the names because it's ridiculous because this is my era now. This is our era. I watched all these guys.
I'm going to go 100% we did. I'm going to go in ABC order, okay?
Okay.
Bobby Abreu, left-handed hitting outfielder.
He should be on the ballot. He should be.
Bronson Arroyo.
No.
I couldn't even get through his name.
I used to get excited when the Cubs faced him.
Carlos Beltran.
He should be on there. Absolutely.
He's going to get a lot of votes.
Yeah, I think he had like a little bit of the Astros cheating thing with him, but he should be. He's a Hall of Fame player, I think.
Mark Burley, one of my favorite White Sox.
He should be on the
100%
on the ballot.
Matt Cain.
I don't know Matt Cain's numbers off the top of my head, but he was a good pitcher.
Yeah, he was in the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah, he was very good.
R.A. Dickey, the knuckleballer. No, should not be on. Jacoby Ellsbury should not
You know,
be
Jacoby
on.
Ellsbury would get injured going up the stairs giving a speech at his Hall of Fame ceremony.
Right. Andre Ethier, former Dodger.
You know, that's – I'm going to pull that up here. That's – you know what I mean?
Let me go over a couple other names as you're pulling that up.
It takes me a few minutes.
Look at this guy. Speaking of Orioles, J.J. Hardy.
Are you kidding me? No, this
is – Why is he on the ballot?
Wait, I'm not going to make fun of Ethier then. I'm going right to Hardy.
Okay,
you know,
please.
But, Matt, first of all, Andre Ethier is in the Hall of Good.
Right.
He's not even very good.
No. He was solid.
A.J. Hardy's a career 256 hitter.
What's his?
With an OPS
of 7. Did he even get on base a lot?
His OPS is 714. Yeah, wait, no, are you serious?
No, that's just the first column, by the way.
No, but you're joking about Hardy.
No, he's on here. I'm looking at it.
He made two All-Star teams. What?
All right, let's keep.
You know, if Castro wasn't out of the league because of the domestic stuff, he would have made it.
Right. All right.
I mean, these guys stink. What?
You know who didn't stink? As we begin the next column, former John Rocky Todd Helton.
Oh, he's on there?
Yeah.
Oh, he'll get in.
Torrey Hunter.
He should be on the ballot.
Can he play center field?
Yeah, we could use Torrey Hunter right now.
Speaking of that, Andrew Jones.
He'll make it.
In his last year of candidacy, former second baseman Jeff Kent.
He should be on the ballot. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he should be on the ballot.
I don't know if he'll get in.
Yeah. Come on, an MVP. It's better than J.J. Hardy.
Oh, 10 times better. He was a feared hitter, Jeff Kent, in his prime. J.J. Hardy, I wouldn't even fear him at Aldi. World champion pitcher with the Northsiders, John Lackey.
Yeah, probably doesn't deserve to be on the ballot, but man, did he pitch in some big games.
We mentioned Mike Napoli already. Now, here's one that's really going to bug you, okay? I should have even spoiled it like that. Johnny Peralta.
You know, mate, I don't want to upset anybody. I got to be missing something. I'll do some more research.
Yeah, some research. Now,
well,
here's
Peralta's
a guy who's
better than Hardy.
Here's a guy who could pitch.
J.J. Hardy's career looks like he was almost a replacement level guy for a while. I mean, he hit a lot of home runs, but geez.
Now, here's a guy who could pitch, Sam. He's my type of pitcher, right? Andy Pettitte.
Oh, yeah, of course. Andy Pettitte. He was great. He's a 300-game winner, isn't he?
Okay, the next two names are giant names. Manny Ramirez and Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, obviously the two best guys in the entire thing, but there's, you
not
know, there's
close.
There's steroids left to them, but geez, you know, give what, cut one of their fingers off and they're better than Hardy.
First year on the ballot, they dubbed him K-Rod in Anaheim. Francisco Rodriguez.
Absolutely. Absolutely should be on the ballot. One of the best
now,
ever.
Here's perhaps the only player I see getting in because he got a lot of votes last year. Former third baseman, Scott Rolen.
You think Scott Rolen gets in over Helton? Or
Beltran, yeah.
Or Beltran or Andrew Jones?
I mean, I have to think about it, but yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that.
All right.
But you know
Jimmy,
what?
I'm sorry.
I don't know. We still had more.
Jimmy Rollins.
He won an MVP. If you win an MVP, you should be on the ballot.
Gary Sheffield. Great stance.
Yeah, steroids, obviously.
Here's a player that should not be on. Houston Street.
Really? You know, Houston Street. I'm not. You know, Houston Street probably has a little bit more deceiving of numbers than we realize.
Maybe so.
But I don't know, and I don't care enough to look it up.
Here's a great fielder, Omar Vizquel.
Yeah, he should be on the ballot. It's not as bad as I thought. I just can't believe. Maybe it's the first time.
Three more guys.
Okay, just get him. Just go.
This guy should be on. Billy Wagner.
Yeah.
And then two absolute embarrassments that are on there. Jared Weaver and Jason Wirth.
Yeah, so that's why. And I'll look back on this.
What
that's
the
why
heck?
I didn't do my research on this because it's the first time we're talking about it publicly. Maybe Every year there's guys on the ballot. There is. Yeah, because
it's random.
Hardy, Napoli.
Peralta.
Bro, who's the last guy you just mentioned? Not Weaver, but the last guy.
Jason Wirth.
Yeah, those. I watched Jason Wirth for years. Never once did I think that guy was a Hall of Fame caliber player. With all due respect, nice hitter, got some power, had that short swing in Philly, but come on. But Wagner's a good one. K-Rod's a good one. Jones, Helton, obviously Manny and A-Rod. So there's some good ones on there. It's not actually as bad as I thought. I just the JJ Hardy thing really kind of changed my life.
Yeah, no.
If he's a Hall of Fame candidate, we're about 3-4 years away from crowning Nico Horner.
Reflect on that between now and the next show. Speaking of shows this week, if you're just joining us for the first time or you're tuning in for the first time this week, I would encourage you to go back to the 100th episode that was posted on Monday. And as we go throughout the week, which is just Wednesday's show this week, any other hot stove updates, roster updates, news, and I think we'll do like a gratitude segment for Wednesday as well, Sam, things that we're thankful for.
Right. Well, I know I'm thankful for Matthew A. Coase.
Be sure to hit that subscribe button for Locked On Cubs on YouTube and smash the like button and all your favorite Locked On Cubs content, Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your pods on the audio side. Remember, you can drop us a text for the next mailbag, which will be next week, 312-834-4634. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On Sports Today podcast. Locked On Sports Today is our 22-minute recap of the previous night in sports. It features local experts on each of the big stories, as well as the take of the day from one of the Locked On hosts. Fun show. He's Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. And this is Locked On Cubs.